Everybody stop talking now. Attention. I told you, all of my critics, I told you all that I was the greatest of all time. When I beat Sonny Liston, I told you today I'm still the greatest of all time. Never again defeat me.
Never again
say that I'm going to be defeated. Never again
make me the underdog until I'm about 50 years old.
That's right.
Then you might get me.
That is better than most. Better than most. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Long go. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
Roethlisberger. Pass time. Throws to the back of the end zone. And
all right, Goated Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. We got two special guests here today. Guys I've known for a long time. I'm pumped to have them here. The worlds have all aligned for us to be in the same room, which is crazy. Since when did I graduate? 06. So 17 years I've known both these guys. I've got two of the best hoopers to ever come out of Southwest Florida. If you don't know what a hooper is, that's a basketball player. A lot of golfers listen to this, a lot of other listeners. A hooper is an understatement for these two. We got a guy that's hard to stop, both guys hard to stop offensively and could lock up defensively. Got the whole package, and you'll hear and understand that when you hear their history, what they've accomplished in basketball. And an inspiring message, really, what they're doing now. So I've got Mike Libo in the building. We've got Joey Woods in the building. Quick Google search those names. You'll see some highlights, some things that they've done, and some awesome stuff they're doing now. But thanks for being here, boys. I'm pumped.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
First podcast for Libo.
Yes, sir.
And Joey? First? Sure. Nice. Yeah. I like it. We're in a lot of you guys know listening. We're in Southwest Florida. So we got a lot of people during season in the winter months that travel down here. These guys are traveling, doing a lot, still in the hoop space with the next generation. But in the winter months, we can get a lot of old friends from back in the day together, and I'm excited that we all lined up for today. Let's start with Joey. Tell the listeners kind of. I'll tell you first, all listeners. This guy went to Golden Gate High School, big public school, and if you walk through the hallways still today, it's a huge public school in South Florida where the best athletes in the world come from Florida. If you don't know that, just click over to another podcast right now if you want to dispute that.
He says that every time.
Every time. The best athletes are here.
Facts.
I think Deion Sanders just said the best athletes and the toughest kids are from Florida, he said. I love that. Both these schools these guys went to were mega schools. I went to another school in between both of them. North and South is where they went. I went in the middle to another big school. But we knew of each other. You knew of the hoopers and the players of every sport for each school and who was dominating. You walk through the hallways and both these guys' names are still hanging. Records are still hanging. Accomplishments are still hanging. So this is the Goated Podcast. No better to have two goats in the sport of basketball. So I told you what they've done. I'm going to let them each go. But Joey tore up record books for Golden Gate High School, went on to play college, played pro. And Libo at Gulf Coast High School, same thing. Tore up the school records, still holds a lot of them. Only got better as the time went on because both these guys grind, work. Even when we were kids, I remember grinding, working, and never took days off. They'd be playing in casts, playing in boots because they were doing too much and still giving people buckets and locking people down. So the hard work, the ethic, I think it was perfect for this Goated Podcast. That's the last I'll say. But Joey Woods, tell them about yourself, what you did in the hoop space.
All right, so my name is Joey Woods. I graduated from Golden Gate High School. I believe I scored around like 1,200 points in 3 years there. All-state, junior and senior year. Then I went on to play Division I at Bethune-Cookman for a year. Then I transferred to Upper Iowa University where we were able to make it to the Division II national tournament my junior year. And my senior year, I was like regional player of the year and like stuff like NBC, NABC player of the year as well. After that, I was blessed and able to be able to continue playing basketball. I played overseas for about 3 to 4 years, played in Bosnia, Bolivia, Paraguay, and Colombia. And I mean, after that, came back and started coaching and then started helping the youth and stuff like that.
It's tough for, I'm better at it. I'm a little guy. I can talk about all my accomplishments real easy because it's short.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can expound on them, but it's going to be hard for both of them to talk about what they did and awards. So that was more than I would have thought. And it's hard to even know what was accomplished with both these guys because they're humble. They come back and, unless you're Googling, watching, I wasn't really, all of us, we watched each other, but you never know nationally the recognition and stuff. So that was good. No, it was great. I'm excited to hear about the international travel and how that world is. And it's changed. You were talking about Ukraine earlier. You were going to go and play in Ukraine and you had to do all this stuff because they didn't really want Americans in Ukraine.
Yeah, it was hard.
But now they got leagues there and it's easier in some of those countries, but things change. All right, Libo.
Yeah, so I'm Mike Libo. I graduated from Gulf Coast High School. Well, I was supposed to graduate from there in 2009. I played varsity basketball. So I was a late bloomer. My freshman year, I was 5'8", short.
Nothing
I was
wrong
always,
with that.
I was always a guard. I was always a point guard. And I started hitting my growth spurt sophomore, junior year. So I kind of developed more to playing out on the wing. And that so that experience at Gulf Coast, my sophomore and junior year, I played half the year. Around Christmas, I got moved up my sophomore year on varsity. Had a really good junior year, averaged like 20-plus a game, was All-State, did really well, but didn't have any college looks. And I had an opportunity to go to a prep school my senior year in Carbondale, Illinois. And was up there for like a month, had probably like 10 D1 offers. Like within a month, I had a bunch of schools calling me, had Indiana on me, I had Michigan. They never offered, but they were calling, sending letters and all that. My grades weren't the greatest. Like, so that was kind of what held me back from going like high major, I would say. But I ended up going to University of Tennessee Martin, which is like it's an Ohio Valley Conference. It's a Division I school. Had a good career. Left like third, I think now I'm third, but I left second all time in scoring there with like 1,600 points at the D1 level. So yeah, scored a lot. Had some good teammates, but you know, we were in a tough conference, so like team success wasn't great. But so that's one thing I do regret is just not like, cause I won it at every level, high school and pro, but like college was the one level that like winning was hard. Like you had to be really good. Like them dudes were nice. So we struggled as a team. We had my freshman and junior year, we were good. My sophomore and senior year, we were terrible. Mm. So like we struggled, but I had some success. And then after my senior year, I definitely was blessed to get opportunities to play overseas. Started off playing in Spain. Went from Spain to South America. Started playing in Bolivia, Mexico, Ecuador, Peru. Went back to Italy for a little bit, back to Europe. So I bounced around for probably like 7 years, I would say. And really just kind of got done in like 20... Really, like end of, or like early last year, like January, I kind of like decided I was kind of going into the coaching and trying to give back to the youth. So we'll get into that later. But that's just a little bit about my journey of hooping and just where I'm at now. So
that's awesome. You know, it's Kevin and I are both golf, you know, people, and we've had a lot of golf people on this podcast, and we know probably a little bit more about the mini tours of golf and the grind that can be. And, you know, I grew up playing baseball. You hear about what it's like in single A, these minor league, you know, teams. What's the transition, you know, from college to a pro, you know, basketball league? Because Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about basketball, not a basketball guy, but like, you know, how do you go from college to, yeah, I'm going to go overseas and play in Spain?
I mean, the first thing I would have to say is like, you kind of got to humble yourself, like first and foremost, because like everyone's dream is to like go to the league or like go to the G League or and make X amount of money. Like that wasn't really the case. Like my first job, like I was making like 1,100 euros a month maybe. And you're not really in it for the money at that point. You're in it for the love. So it's like you really got to love it and you got to be able to adapt to like different the different like culture. So like that can be a shock. And for me, like it was more just like adapting to the style of basketball. Like that's a whole nother thing. So there's a lot of like different variables, to be honest. And to really be able to adjust. I'm sure Joey could maybe answer
like being on your own and not having, because like it's kind of when you go to college, you're on your own, but your coach is still there. You still have people checking on you at class, seeing it. Once you go out of the country, it's just
different animal.
There's no the language barrier. There's no Wi-Fi. You can't. You know what I'm saying? Like you just have to, the food, everything like that. So, but it is. It's humbling though, for sure.
Yeah,
for
sure. It's cool.
In basketball, is it? And I don't know either entirely. It's after college, you're hoping to go get drafted by an NBA team. If not, it's G League. Or if you get drafted, you could potentially go to the G League right away, right? That's the AAA.
Right.
So it's G League or draft. I mean, draft is the goal.
So there's like a lot of summer.
That's the big check. Then there's G League. You could do summer, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't get drafted, or you can go in the summer if you're invited by a team, right? You could try out.
And it's very political. Like, if you're not coming from
a power like, five, and leading.
So
like the kid, the kid at the end of the bench on Duke that's never gotten into the game, he's probably gonna get an opportunity before a kid who
led a small conference,
15 points a game,
like
at
a kid
small,
like me. I averaged 16 points a game for my career.
Yeah, but just because this kid goes to Duke and he says Duke,
really,
they're gonna probably take that kid.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is there any like, at that level after college, is there any academic visual? Like, are they caring at all? No. That you finished with the grades? No.
No, no, no.
Because Duke, I mean, if I'm an NBA franchise or an NBA coach, there is a portion of me, and I've never been that, but that's thinking, let me recruit the kid that sat and listened to Coach K for 6 years, or I'll take that kid from league minimum. Well, rather than the UT Martin 16 points a game, possibly. I kind of get that, but I don't, because that kid's never going to score for me.
No.
If I watched your video and said you put 16 a game on D1, I would rather have that to win games, possibly.
Right.
I mean, it's reps, right? I mean, think about it. Like, you talk about what's that that principle of like 10,000 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That has to apply in in-game scenarios, right? Yeah. If somebody 100% doesn't play a single minute for 4 years, but then you have somebody in D2, right, who's tearing it up, who's played 4 years of basketball, I feel like they have to be more equipped, even if they're not sitting behind Coach K.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Right. I think so. Like, also, I think it's like a prove me thing. So like, if you're coming from the small school or whatever, they're like, okay, we'll give you 1,100 euros, but we want you to come over here and put up 28 points a game. And then once you do that, the next year we'll get you this and we'll do this. And then, but I think that their reasoning, I think, is more so, okay, this kid practiced every single day against these type of kids, so he knows how to play against this level player. Because in basketball, there's like levels. So like you have the top level, you have mid, and you have low. So like, you know, like an NBA player, you know, right? Like, you probably know by the time you're a senior in high school, you know, like, okay, I'm gonna be able to do this or I'm not gonna be. Yeah. So like, there's and I think that's what they more so base it off of, like in Europe and stuff like that.
I don't know. I've coached some kids that have no clue that they're not good. I'm sure you guys have too. We have kids that, it's so funny down here at local level or anywhere, we're in a good state for sports, top five state, but there's still like cities that are really good, like we just talked about. A lot of our coaching seasons and playing seasons ended in Miami. Like, you got to get through Miami, Tampa, Jacksonville to win anything. and it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing in the country with college too. It's interesting. So it's a different world than golf too, because golf, we always try to recruit like golfers to be a point guard, because you get over your stuff. You can be on an island by yourself, mm-hmm. without anybody flashing to help you, and you can handle a bunch of junk as a golfer. But in sports, you could score 16 average. You can average 25, and if your team can't guard, or if you don't have a team, you're not going to win many games. Yep. Or your coach isn't dedicated. So it's tough. It's a different dynamic.
Yep.
Because if you would have won 3 years in a row and could were the 16 point,
exactly.
yeah,
it could be a whole different outcome. Exactly. Like literally, exactly. yeah.
They're looking at winners too.
Yeah, yeah.
Just tough. That in the basketball world. So I touched on a little bit, but you guys both grinded from a young age. What's a time you can remember you were like, I'm going to work on this craft more than the average person. I need to do more. I need to shoot free throws. I need to work on this, my left hand, whatever. What age did that click for both of you? Or when did you start being dedicated to the sport? Do you recall?
I think it was my eighth grade summer. That's when I first started 1,000 shots every day with my mom at the park. But
13 years old?
Yeah, that's what I did.
1,000 shots a day.
Yeah, because I played football still through. So like I just had to go every night with her, shoot at the park, she would rebound, boom.
Dang. Mm-hmm. Was she the one that inspired that? Or you heard it from a coach or someone?
Well, I think that was just like the thing growing. Like you would get 1,000 shots a day. You got to get 1,000 shots. Like Jordan shoots 1,000. You know what I'm saying? So that was my little moment. Like that.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, honestly, for me, it was really young. Like, because I was originally born in Chicago. So like, my dad was taking me to Jordan games when I was like 5 years old.
Nice, United
so like,
Center.
Yeah. Well, we used to have to go to Milwaukee because United Center would be sold out.
Mm.
So he would get the tickets when they would play at Milwaukee, because then they were a lot cheaper and it was only like 30-minute ride. So
nice.
I grew up kind of, so I always had like that passion, and I was never a big like football player.
Yeah.
And once I got down here, I kind of realized that. Like I moved down here in like third grade. I was just like, yeah, football, not for me. I played a little baseball. I was decent, but I always just had, like, a love and a passion for basketball. So it started young, and, like, it really started, like, just going to the YMCA every day for me as a kid and just, like, starting there and just playing with older kids. Like, I was decent, but I was small, so, like, I would not get picked or, like, and that would kind of motivate me, too, to just, like, work harder. Like, they're bigger, they're stronger, but I just got to keep working. So that's kind of like put a chip on my shoulder too. So
a couple weeks ago when we talked about this with Joey and I said, we got to get you on the podcast. We didn't talk about doing together, but I said that I don't think he could stop you, Joey. And he said, I don't think he's beat me. So I got to start that debate. But I will say that when you grew.
Nah, Lionel never beat me growing up.
Probably not. I'm not going to lie. I was two years younger.
Lionel,
I was short.
I can give you the story on Lionel. My senior year, I believe Lionel was sophomore and did JV and then moved up to varsity. I left to go to college, right? JD Woods played,
Steelers.
They had a whole D1 football team on their on our basketball team, but I was in college. My mom calls me and she's like, Joey, Mike Libo just scored 20 something points.
I had a triple double
on Golden Gate.
She goes, he's like 6'6" now. I don't know what. I'm like, what? So I looked it up and I see him. I'm like, dang,
I told you when I was coaching then, or no, I was in college then. Because I graduated with 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing that Libo grew and he would, like, it's hard to block him. Like, he couldn't stop because his release was at, like, 7 foot.
I didn't even know. Because when I left to go to college, he was probably, like, 6'1" or something. Like, he was a normal size. And then they're like, he's 6'6". I'm like, what?
Yeah. I went to Barron Collier and I had my brother was still younger at Barron. And I'm like, bro, why can't anybody stop Libo? And they're like, he's 5 inches taller, 6 inches taller.
And
you could shoot back then. Now it's hard to guard.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't stop him? No, he already could shoot and grew.
Well, like I was saying, though, like what like really helped me was like being a point guard throughout middle school. So like by the time I grew, my skill set was there. I wasn't like a clumsy 6'5" kid. I had the skill because I worked on it for 2-3, you know, my whole middle school career. So
that actually really was a blessing. Huh?
Yeah, it was low key. Yeah, definitely was.
We always get moments like this where I think of something through a story and I'm like, it goes deeper than that. And it's not even planned, but that's the blessing right there, because you do run across, I coached basketball for a long time and I was at Liberty, I was a GA, so I learned a bunch about hoops. You guys have known, we coached with each other, against each other. There's blessings in disguise, because you don't see 6'5 kids that are tall, young, that can handle or can do things. Like when they're tall, young, it's like you just grew right into the big spot and you're down there waiting for the ball to get to you. But if you're blessed to go through a phrase or a time frame like that, then that's a good word. Yeah. Trust where you're at. God's got a plan.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Because one day I'm going to be 6'6". Yeah.
He's still thinking he's never going to hit the growth spurt.
It's coming, bro.
He's trying,
that's what
he's
I was getting to.
He's trying to justify
it's coming.
His,
when's that 6'6" coming
in life.
No, that's hilarious.
That's good. Oh,
that's very true, though, man.
Yeah, he said that the other day. I said, I think I started, but I said, who would be right now?
Yeah. I told him, I said, he'd get me. I said, he'll probably get me right now.
You did not say that.
No, I said he would score on me.
He'd be harder to stop.
I said, but back in the day, I said, I don't remember.
I mean, in like high school, nah, I wasn't. Like,
he could clamp.
Yeah, that's what
but
I'm saying.
But he wasn't developed. But he wasn't as
I wasn't fully developed.
Yeah,
developed.
No.
But right now, I think you would win.
Yes.
Yeah, so like,
you think so?
So like for me, my measuring stick was like Joe. Like, so like I knew I was good for my age.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, okay, now I got to play against like Joey and like Matt Moss and like JD. And like, so like that was always my measuring stick to see like where I was really at. And then, like, I remember when Joey would come home from college, or like I would be home from prep school, and we would just, I was like, okay, I could kind of move now. I could score. I could kind of like use my body on him now. So it was like always for me, like, that was really like my measuring stick as a kid to see like really where I was at for like to, you know, I knew I was good for my age, whatever, but to really see where I was at, I always like to go play against the older guys and,
like it.
Get beat up or whatever happened, you know. So
did either one of you have a coach or I had a strength coach that tried to make us like a warrior, but did you ever have a coach that pushed you to the limit to like not love the game, college or high school? You don't have to say their name, but there's breaking points I know in basketball when people quit.
Well, like my dad was like on me hard.
Okay, I remember that
tough,
actually,
like real tough. So like there was moments there for sure, like we would get into it and I would like, oh, I quit or whatever. Yeah. Like there's definitely those nights, like, but you always wake up the next day, like forgetting about it or like with a new mentality or whatever you want to call it. So really for me, it was my dad, but like my dad had me so like mentally like ready for any other coach that like by the time I got older, I could take anything from a coach to where it was like that I haven't heard before. Like it didn't get to me as much as it probably would have. You know what I'm saying? So
it's a good word. When you had good games, did your dad still have some things that he would pick at?
Yeah. So like my dad was never satisfied.
Yeah.
I could have 30 and
like
I would get lazy on defense. Like, so that was his main thing with me, just playing harder.
Mm.
And being, you know, making the right play, not, you know, because I wanted to score. I was just, you know, so just get my teammates involved. But my dad gave me sound advice. Like a lot of dad, like now that I'm a coach and I see some of these dads giving their kids advice and I'm like, So like my dad gave me good, like play harder, make the right pass. It wasn't, oh, go shoot, oh. Do this. You need to score 20. He knew I could score. He knew I could do that stuff. So he was he was always worried about like my other parts of my game for sure.
No, I love it. That's awesome. I love to hear those stories because as a 5'9 non-hooper that thought he was a hooper, I could shoot, but that's about it. I had irrational dreams or whatever, not realistic dreams. As a young kid, but then you start to see with good coaching, good friends around, good parenting, whatever, you see what's realistic and what you need to do. And if you're not willing to put in the work, then it obviously is not going to work out for you. And that's how it is in business. We're sitting in a warehouse right now we just bought that has five companies running out of it. And if we're not willing to put in the work, if it wasn't Chris and I and hopefully our staff that's added from here, if we're not leading right and working hard and diligently and studying data, studying our craft, same thing. It's business. I try to relate a lot of our lessons on here to business as I talk out loud and learn. But it's that constant adjustment and then it's dedication. I love the Larry Bird story that we always told too, where he was up till, or that Greg would always tell, that he'd wake up in the middle of the night because kids on the West Coast were shooting. He's like, I got to shoot while the kids on the West Coast are shooting. He didn't sleep much. And Michael Jordan, we all know stories on that too. And same thing with Tiger Woods. Like the repetition, it's the people that can make it and grind through that are the ones that make it in all aspects. Same thing coaching, business, everything. So
yeah,
I love it.
I feel like I got to tell my one basketball story.
Yes,
because
please.
I told you this before. So my last name's Meehan, right? Chris Meehan. Mm-hmm. My athletic ability is limited, extremely limited, but did play intramural basketball when I was in college. A lot of fun, right? I rode the bench most of the time, but one game I came in off the bench, right? Hadn't played like all season and hit six threes in a row on six straight possessions. And they were ugly. They're bouncing off the top of the backboard and dropping it. Right. So everyone was calling me Chris Three Hand, right? Like, who is this kid? And then I proceeded to not score another point the rest of the year.
You had your moment. That's all.
I had my moment. I had to retire. And then that was it.
Go out a winner. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
So, you know, I know what it feels like.
That's a GOAT moment. That's a GOAT moment right there. For sure.
Yeah, it was.
Kev's probably never hit 6 threes.
I'd do that right now if I needed to.
I'm telling you, though, that they were the ugliest three-pointers you'd ever seen, but they somehow went in.
If it goes in, it goes in.
It goes in.
I love it. That, who do you guys have as the GOAT basketball player? The GOAT.
Yeah. I'll let him go. Debate. I know what he's about to say.
My GOAT choice is LeBron James.
LeBron James.
And
okay,
that is,
so I phrased
would you like
it,
me to elaborate? Or you
please.
To...
I phrased it the way I did on purpose, though. The GOAT basketball player.
All
it's
right.
The great, if it's, and this is why, because I kind of agree, but I'll let you go. Greatest NBA player of all time is a different story, I think. But greatest basketball player of all time.
I would go with LeBron James. The reason I would go with him is because the amount of impact he's able to have on the game at any given moment. So, like, defensively, passing, rebounding, plays 1 through 5. Right now he's shooting 41% from 3. Year 20. So he's just getting better. Every year he's supposed to stop. He gets better and better and better and better. So it's just like, I mean, you got to – it's greatness. Like, you got to cherish it. You got to respect it.
He is a GOAT for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's the GOAT. Let's hear
he's
it.
He's a GOAT, but I ain't going to say he's the GOAT, but he's the greatest player of, like, our generation. But I'm a like I mentioned earlier,
yeah,
like,
diehard.
Yeah, so, like, Jordan, obviously, for me, I mean, Jordan was a winner. Like, when it was time to win, he did what needed to be done. He might not put up the crazy stat pattern. I mean, I'm not saying LeBron's a stat patter, but, like, I just think that's what the NBA kind of is nowadays.
For
like,
sure.
Dudes are chasing stats, and it's, like, almost easier to get assists. And because dudes are also a lot more skilled. So, like, the dudes LeBron is passing to are a lot more skilled
True.
Than the dudes that Jordan was passing
yeah.
to. So, like, but LeBron, like, yeah, he's a better – he's probably the better, more, like, a well-rounded player, but, like – for me, like, if I want to win a game, I'm going Jordan.
Yep.
So, true. And that's I like what it. I kind of base it off of. Like,
I like it. I agree. I agree with both
of
you.
It's a debate for sure. Like, mm-hmm. neither one of us, I don't think, are really wrong yeah. like,
no.
for having. But
yeah, it's one of those things I don't think there's, like, an answer to.
Mm-hmm. It's like
you know?
An A
but
and a
it's
B.
It's such a divided
yeah.
topic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And as somebody that's not a huge basketball guy, you know, I didn't watch or live through any of Jordan,
mm-hmm.
right? But I did live through LeBron.
Right.
And because I'm not a huge basketball fan, I don't know a lot of what makes LeBron great in people's minds. I just go straight to, hey, I don't really like him.
That's what a lot of people don't.
His annoying.
And that's I feel the same way. Like I'm not the biggest LeBron guy.
He doesn't like him at all.
I mean, but I respect what he's done. Like
for sure.
obviously,
for sure.
20 years of
that
can't go unnoticed. But I think he really changed the landscape of the NBA. Like the whole going to Miami, like that really changed like how. NBA
super
is,
teams, free agency.
He like put the approval. He like stamped it. Like, it's okay. We gonna this how we're rocking. So like everybody just had to. Everybody else had to fall in line. KD had to fall in line. If you want to win, you got to fall in line. That's kind of what I think happened.
Yep.
And the whole toughness. Like when he's so important to the pocketbooks of every owner from the beginning. Because when LeBron was coming to your town, you were going to make a lot of money. So you didn't want him to get fouled hard.
Right.
You didn't want him to get hurt.
Right.
You didn't want, and he gets
hit.
I used to believe that, like, Jordan used to get choked, slammed, scratched, everything, though, like, way harder.
Oh, yeah.
But I agree with both of you. I think, honestly, I think the answer for me is if I'm going to go just like you, if I'm going to go 5-on-5, I want Michael Jordan right now. I'll take Michael Jordan. I played golf with him weeks ago or months ago. He's still an athlete, still a dialed. Like, his mindset has not changed. He's still trying to beat everybody. Probably would lose because LeBron's in a little better shape right now. But if I had – I've never seen a person like LeBron that could – I could put him on the court against Shaq, Yao Ming, any of those dudes, and put him on the court against Chris Paul, against Kyrie, and he's winning at least five times out of 10 against all five positions, where if Jordan played Shaq, I think it'd be a problem. I think it'd be a little bit of a problem if Shaq never missed. He could just back down. LeBron, I mean, Michael did it to Shaq, but there's just some problems
there.
That's
a good point, though. That's a good point.
That's why I say basketball player. Like, if it's 1v1, it's so tough to line up anyone in the country, even still against LeBron. But if it's 5v5, you got to take the winner, the guy that's going to make everyone better.
But, like, my other thing is, like, how is Bron better than Kobe? Like, what makes Bron better than Kobe?
I'm not a Kobe fan, so I can't.
I'm a Kobe fan, but.
Because everyone's like, oh, it's either Kobe or Michael. But it's like, people be forgetting about Kobe, man. I don't know. Like,
I think Kobe
just arguably had a better career than LeBron. He more. I mean,
well, like it's he's just he has the rings, the rings. But
that's what counts, though, isn't that what people like? That's counts.
Yeah,
bro.
I think
the other stats.
We talked about
that.
This with Jonah on Travis Fulton podcast, talking about the greatest golfers of all time, and for him, you know, he goes to wins and championships, major championships, right? I think that's a very valid way to decide who's the greatest. Granted, it's a team sport. It's not the same as golf, where it's all on your on your back. But that being said, I look at who has the most championships personally.
And just to add on that, like Michael and Kobe did it in the same. They didn't leave. They stayed loyal.
True.
LeBron. True. I mean, true. I don't know.
Here's the one thing that I think that maybe pushes it towards LeBron in that argument is. And it's not even a wins thing or a champions thing. It's quite simply the team that LeBron plays for. I think him going to LA and just being on that team because of that franchise's history and reputation and brand in the sport of basketball now elevates him really, really high. I think just being on that team elevates
awareness.
Awareness of it.
It's a worldwide brand.
It's a worldwide.
You're a Laker for life now. Laker LeBron's a Laker for life. You know what I mean?
And it's got a ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. Scalabrini's got some rings too now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you go out, Robert Horry has rings. So if we
I'm talking like super, like if when you're talking like superstars, like,
like
you got to base it off
true.
That. Who's like we're talking about role players.
Somebody
11
like
rings and Bill Russell or something.
Like, he was a superstar. He was one of the best bigs ever.
Yeah.
So
but like if you're the leader of the team and rings, I agree.
I'm torn
the world
between the
changes
two.
Too. Yeah. It's so tough. Like I always used with Greg Donahue and I, we'd always argue about Larry Bird being the best. I'm like, Greg.
Nah.
He didn't guard the same guys. And the same thing PGA Tour. Like, we're talking about PGA Tour now. Like, Tiger in the Masters wins, Tiger's the GOAT, in my opinion. But in the Masters wins, in the playoffs, he's beating guys that have beer bellies, short, chubby, and you look at the athletes that are out there now. We just went to the last tour event. They all are ripped, lifting before the round. Right. They got a physio. They got a dietitian that travels with them. There was none of that. These guys were smoking cigarettes while they were playing and drinking beers every night till late. They weren't lifting, eating lean, and bench pressing 400 pounds like these guys, golfers, do. So there's a different, same thing. Larry Bird wasn't going against anybody that, I mean, he had some boys he was going against, but not every night of the week. And you go play. Yeah.
Like it is now, man. It's
yeah, professional athletes have always just gotten better.
Yeah.
Over time, you know, 100%.
Every sport.
Technology.
For y'all too. So if Tiger Woods was thrown into this generation of the golf players, do you think he still has the same career and the same, you think he's still the same Tiger Woods?
I think the answer is yes for me. And the reason I say that is, you're right, Kevin, about the fact that when Tiger came onto the scene, right, he was playing against these kind of subpar athletes, you know, not very in shape, not very health conscious. But what he did that Jack never had to do was go through his entire career and withstand the pushback to that. By the time that, you know, Tiger's still technically playing professional golf right now, right? Yeah. The kids that watched him, you know, win all those championships early in the late 90s and 2000s and go in that historic run holding all four majors and the Players at one time, they eventually were the ones teeing it up with him on the weekends, and he was still beating them.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think anything changes, because Tiger's greatness really comes from his mental toughness, right? He was going to find – he's had that Jordan mentality of, I'm going to beat you, and it's not going to be fair.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I kind of think he would, you know?
So true. I agree. I think it's that – you're exactly right. The goated mentality for him hasn't changed, and he would still come out there. It'd be a little bit harder. It'd be, but the other thing is technology. So technology changes like crazy too. Like, you got guys in the PGA Tour, on the PGA Tour, and in the NBA, the technology has changed where you can judge your oxygen levels in certain stadiums, and you can judge your peak performance and sleep. Like, the money, I was going to say, the money that LeBron spends on his body, he's got those hyperbolic chambers he sleeps in, and he don't get hurt. I'm impressed
by
him.
That's the most impressive thing. Yeah. He's never been
hurt.
He's
never sitting out, and he gets banged up, and I'm 36 now, too. How old is he? He's around my age.
39, 38.
Is he really?
There's no way I could play a full court basketball game. Obviously, I couldn't even play 10 minutes. But if I worked hard for a couple of years, I'm going to get dinged up.
I don't think they give him enough credit for that. Like, he really values recovery.
100%.
You know?
And I feel like he's one of the first, like, real, like, superstars like that to do. Like, if you look down in the past, like, Kobe did, but not like him, I don't think. Kobe was just more worried about getting on the court and putting work in.
Exactly.
Like, he wasn't really, like, recovering, I don't think.
Nope.
Yeah.
Because he broke down towards the end of his career. So I think LeBron has really, like, kind of started a trend with that for a lot of these up-and-coming just athletes in general.
Yeah.
I respect that too, because we'll go to the coaching side a little bit, but you see kids that are so gifted, and we would say the same thing about both of you. Coaches would say the same thing about both of you when you were younger, that waste it, right? That don't work hard. And I'm just realizing now, although I don't love LeBron, don't really like him, but he helped the owners by making his health a priority, because it's a sacrifice. And anything being goated requires some sacrifice. I always try to tie some back in as God gives me stuff, but it requires sacrifice to be great at anything. And man, I'm thinking right now about what LeBron must have sacrificed the last. He went to every city, every country, flew private, could do whatever he wanted. And there were times when he's like, I'm not eating that.
Yeah.
I'm not having that. I'm not going out with that. I'm not, because I got to go sleep. I got to do my 6 hours in this ice bath. I got to do my 6 hours in the hyperbolic, and then I got to do 6 hours or 60 minutes in the ice bath or whatever. For 20 years? Is this 20th year?
It's a lot of sacrifice.
Man, you got so much money already. I'd be like, all right, I'll sacrifice one more year, and then I'll stop sacrificing, and I'm going to have everything I want.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So I respect that, because I'm already there. I'm like, when can I retire? I would have retired a long time ago if I was him. So that's what's up. Let's talk about the next generation. So you guys are both coaching. I love what you guys are doing in this town. Both the cities you guys coach in need it. And coaches are lacking. The kids' guidance is lacking. Home life has been is always going to keep getting worse. Dads, the attack on the home is brutal. So you guys impacting the next generation, I want to thank you both for first. And knowing what you guys know. I mean, how many of us, me, I coached forever. I had no idea what the next level was like. I had no idea playing the next level was like, what it takes. So for you to come back and impact other kids, you've already done so much, and you're still just getting started. So I appreciate you. But talk about the next generation, what you're seeing. Maybe a word for dads listening or kids listening. You can have your players listen to this podcast. But I know that the work ethic's not there because everyone we've had the last 12 episodes, 20 episodes, it's changing. The technology age, the softness. I mean, kids are getting softer. Parents are getting softer. I know you guys can say all that, but what you're seeing.
So, like, it starts from what I see and the kids that, like, I deal with. They don't want to be outside, like, not even, like, going outside and playing basketball. Like, when I was a kid, I was outside just playing manhunt. Running around, playing manhunt, playing with your friends, and now they don't even, they're just strictly sitting on PlayStation playing Fortnite, so they're not moving. They're just sitting there locked to a screen all night, all day, and then by the time you got to, now they're like, oh, let's go to basketball practice. They run up and down one time, they about to throw up. Mm-hmm. It's like, bro, when I was your age, I could run around all day and not even sweat. Yeah. So, like, that's the one thing that I'm like, okay, I see that a lot. And then just, like, not really, like, I wanted it myself. I didn't have to have, like, my dad would be on me or whatever, but, like, I didn't really need that. Yeah. But, like, these kids need someone, like, over them, like, go here, go there, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I don't know if that comes from, like, father figures or just not having that in their life or, like, what the case is. But that's one thing I see, man, is they don't really, like, want to go get it. They just want to sit around and hope things come. And I just feel like all of us were kind of raised and brought up in a different generation, and it was a little different for us. So,
Joey, what are you seeing?
I mean, not speaking on the team I'm coaching now directly, but like in the past, but to elaborate on him with the kids. So, like, remember when we were younger and we would be outside, our parents would have to force us to come back in the house or get up. Yeah. Now it's like we're trying to force these kids to get them outside and to go do stuff and to do that, this and that. But I mean, I think the kids are like soft. I mean, I hate to say it, but yeah, I'm not going to blame it on one parent or whatever, because you could get it from the school, from the teacher, from.
Well, I think it starts there too. Like the I've heard the education now is like out. So this is a little off subject, but I was with some of my sixth graders like last week.
Yeah.
And their mom was telling me they don't know how to spell. Like, they don't know how to read.
No, it's bad in Florida.
So I get on Google. I just, like, common sixth grade words. Like, hey, how you spell this? He's like, I'm like, bro, y'all don't know how to spell. Y'all don't know how to read. Y'all don't know, like, a normal sense. Like, I'm like, bro, I was mind blown, though. This was, like, last week.
To add on to that, these kids, remember we had to learn how to write cursive by by the third grade.
They don't know cursive.
You don't have to learn cursive.
No cursive.
It's out of the book.
It's so crazy, bro.
I kind of like that. I hated cursive.
Yeah, but it's
you should still have to know it. You know,
like,
what I'm saying?
They're in class with iPads and the MacBook or the computer on it. Yeah. We're in class, that projector comes on, you got to write every note down. Now they just copy, save, and they go home and they're, oh, we got to.
Nope. We had a lot of practice, though, because people were asking for our autograph early.
Right.
No, that's true. My wife is a teacher, and I'm seeing it. Florida's not the best public school system right now. I don't think we're rated very high as a country either, and I get that. And you're right. When I was coaching, this is my first or second year not coaching. I got two kids. The hard part is you hit the nail on the head. I'd love my kids to be outside more, but there's so many parents now, if, like, kids just walking around the neighborhood, neighbors will call DCF. Like, where's your parents?
Right.
Like, what do you mean? I live in this community. My kids are out playing.
Right.
And then to touch on that, like, I grew up in Miami. My parents, if I didn't come home, it was like, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
They'd be nervous, but, like, we'll be all right. I was at my buddy's house down the street.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just sleeping there tonight.
Now they're going to call.
No. The stuff I learned, like, playing outside, I probably didn't have a passion for basketball, but the kids in my neighborhood had passion. I played basketball. If we didn't have a basketball one day, we threw rocks at each other. Mm-hmm. You're trying to learn how to dodge rocks, and you're learning hand-eye coordination.
You go egging, toilet paper, somebody has.
Exactly.
I don't have any evidence for this, but it seems like this transition to where we're at now happened within the span of my siblings' ages. Because when I was a kid, it was the same. We were outside every day getting called in for dinner. Everyone's in the neighborhoods playing. We had block parties. We had whatever, you know. And then now my youngest siblings, they're just in the house. It seems like that happened somewhere in the middle, and it might line up with, like, social media, right?
I think it's the cell phone.
As soon as everybody got that device, they didn't have the desire to go out.
You hit it on the head. It's social media, it's the iPhones. The kids just want to sit and scroll.
When we were kids, you didn't even want to be on the house phone. Like, you didn't want to hold that phone and sit there and talk to somebody. You didn't want to do that.
You just go to your neighbor's house and knock on the door and be like, can Johnny play?
What are we doing?
Yeah. You know? That was all it was.
Yeah. Yo.
You know what's crazy too is I was telling my little brother the other day, who's like 7 years younger than me, I'm like, man, back in the day, if I sit on Monday, I saw my buddy at school and said, we're going to chill Thursday, or you're going to come over to my house, ride your bike. There wasn't like, hey, you still come. If I didn't see him till Thursday, it was going to be after school on Thursday.
Yeah, he was going to be there.
Now these kids are like, let me verify 12 times what time it is. Yeah. The social is tough too, and that makes it hard for coaches too. I don't know how you get all your kids to practice. I'm blown away at that. I'm sure the parents beyond that and the kids, like, I want, if they're in a good game on Fortnite, it's hard to get kids off, I've seen. My kids luckily don't do, my kids are only 5 and 3, but they don't do the social or have a phone.
They're going to be asking soon, though. That's the crazy thing.
Oh, yeah, we're like, ready for it. No, I know.
Oh, it's crazy, man.
It's funny. I saw a kid, I saw like a video. This kid got hit. It wasn't the purpose of the video, but a stick was coming at him outside or something. It just hit him. And he was looking at it, but like had never... He was just kind of like taken back by the outside world, and the stick hit him and messed him up. And I was like, I bet that kid's been on the video games, because I saw that coming from a mile away. I see a kid swinging around. I'm like, I'm watching what that's.
Kev, you'd be surprised how many kids do not know how to hop a fence. It'd blow your mind. How many kids do not know
how to hop a fence?
Yes. Do not know how to jump over a fence. Cannot hop a fence.
I believe it.
You'd be blown away.
Oh, that's the only way to get on a court.
Yeah, I had some kids. Anywhere. This is on the other team we coached, Team Elect, but I had told some kids to jump the gate. They're struggling on the gate.
Kids on my team can at least jump a gate.
These kids, kids are from Golden Gate, though. They did not know how to jump the gate. I was blown away, bro. Like,
it's crazy.
How can you guys not jump a gate?
Yeah, we used to have that down to like 3 moves, you know? It's like running start, boom, boom, boom,
one,
you're
two,
up,
three.
You're over. Yeah,
two hop crazy. It or one hop it.
Love it. That it's scary, man. And it's going to be, it's a combination. It's a village thing now. It's they say it takes a village to raise a kid now, and it always has been, but it's you guys. It's teachers getting better.
Getting
so
paid
tough.
More.
Teachers don't get paid enough anywhere in this country, but. And it's so important. But I appreciate what you guys are doing. That I know it's frustrating at times, and you can get burned out like teachers do. That's probably why a lot of it is that way, because it's a thankless job, pulling teeth and raising money and doing things. It doesn't pay the bills. I know that. So appreciate you guys doing that as
a
citizen.
And just we said this to Jay as well. We've talked about it multiple times in the podcast, but it really is an accomplishment to have reached the level of sport that you guys have. Most people ever play further than high school. So it's awesome that you guys, you know, kind of followed that dream and had the success you had, because that's really impressive.
Thank you.
Really. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate that.
The, I guess like one thing I want to talk about too is, so the opening, like, this world has changed with NIL and stuff, transfer portals. I saw who's the kid from Fort Myers? He was at Oklahoma. He's going to transfer again.
Javion's transferring. He jumped in the portal today.
Yeah. This transfer portal is crazy. So this is going to be his third school.
In 3 years.
And all Division One, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was at Siena.
He might have to, what do you have, no sit?
You don't got
to
sit.
He doesn't have to sit anymore. How has that changed, or what do you guys think on like the business of it, and for high school kids that you've seen, because you guys still coach high school kids too? I mean, is it
the transferring or the NIL?
Well, first, NIL. I see high schoolers are getting signed for NIL.
The NIL for high schoolers is insane. That's crazy.
Yeah. I think
for college, I understand. Because, like, I've been there. Like, there was nights where, like, I got, like, $2 in my account and, like, can't eat. And it's like, but I'm up here. I got practice at 6 a.m. I got class from 9 to 1. But I got $2 in my account. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I get it at the college level, but high school, I don't, because like you go put a lot of money in a 15-year-old kid's pocket, 16-year-old kid's pocket, like I think it's just gonna like
asking for trouble
and you're like taking like that kid ain't gonna love the game by the time he already got money. Yeah, like he's not gonna love playing no more. Like you got money. Like you already feel like you made it. So like you're taking away like maybe like the kid's work ethic or like just motivation. Just by giving a 16-year-old kid $100K for being a good high school basketball player, like that's crazy to me. Yeah. But for college, I agree, I'm all for it.
Because it's like this. If you go to FGCU and you're good at tech or whatever and Google wants to hire you, they can hire you and you can still go to FGCU and be a student. But if the basketball player previously was good in Axe wanted him to be on the commercial for the spray for the deodorant. He wasn't allowed to do that. It's just like
you go get a job.
I think the difference comes down to quite simply the fact that when you're a college athlete to that university, you're a commodity, and they are allowed to utilize you for their benefit and financial gain. That's not necessarily true in high school. You pay a lot of money to go to that school. Your parents do, and it's not like there's tons of revenue coming into these schools for their basketball programs. Right. What it's about is developing young men in the sport and, you know, life lessons, hopefully, that they'll take on to college and pro and be, you know, contributing members to society and functional adults. Right. If you give them $100K.
It's just
and
like,
also, I think you have to be careful with people taking advantage of like a star athlete. So like you 100%. Go, you know, he's in a bad area. So you go with 150K, the mom and they're probably going to jump on it. But
they have to. Like, if I'm a 16-year-old kid and my mom ain't got, we living in
an apartment.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to take the money.
For sure.
I mean,
so I think you got to be careful with that. I don't like it in high school, actually.
It's crazy in high school.
I don't like it. I think if you could get on TikTok now, if you can go on your own social media.
Yeah, like brand yourself.
Brand yourself
that way.
And do something like that. I think. But as far as like a company coming in and being like, we want this high, like, why do you want to put your hands on a high school kid? He probably hasn't had a girlfriend or has, you know what I'm saying? Like,
So answer me that. So is that actually happening? Like, are there companies high school players?
Yeah, middle schoolers. There's a kid in Naples that just got signed.
Have you heard of Baby Gronk? The little,
I forgot about him.
I don't know how old he is. But no, there's 100%, there's kids that, if you have a big following, one of those major companies will come.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%.
I think there is a difference between, like, you know, becoming an affiliate of a company at a young age. Like you said, you have a TikTok following and you want to promote a product on there and a company gives you a discount code to do that and, you know, a kickback on sales. Yeah, that seems relatively, like, innocent. But it's when the big checkbook comes out and goes, you're going to do a, you know, you're gonna be a, you're gonna be our guy. You're gonna be Gatorade.
And then when you go to high school, you got to think, if it's a first year teacher, she probably in Florida, she's probably making like $34,000-$35,000. Now, if you get a kid in high school who gets an NIL deal, that's why would this kid want to
listen
to this lady who's trying to teach him about something while he's already got more money than this lady ever had?
That's probably the biggest
threat. That's a really good point.
Why would I, like, you know,
that's a really good point.
It's crazy.
Why would I even go to school?
Yeah, he's making more than, the principal at his high school.
No, he is, bro. Like, definitely.
Unless you're in Texas or like somewhere big, but like, if you're.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
It's not. It's sticky. I just think you're almost setting the kid up for failure.
Yeah.
Like,
and then everybody knows he has money. Everybody, like, it's just it's a bumpy, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it.
No, I agree. I like it for college too. I mean, if high schoolers, we've coached some kids that had a TikTok following that was starting to monetize it, and they were players too, which is fine. It's capitalism. So I get it. But I'm glad the transfer portal kind of, I guess, was the last thing I wanted to talk on. Like, if you guys I'm sure probably would have utilized that, especially with what you 100%.
Did. I would have 100%.
I would have too.
So I was supposed to transfer after my sophomore year to FGCU the year before they made the run. Mm. But so my prep school coach was college roommates with Andy Enfield at Florida State. Mm. And he had it all lined up. But long story short, like, my prep school coach didn't really want me coming back home. Just bad influences. I got in a little bit of trouble in high school. Yeah. Some stuff happened, whatever. So he like kind of like pulled it back and like didn't really want it to happen. So, but with the transfer portal, I just felt like I would have been in like my own. I would have had more like control of the situation, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I would have definitely utilized it, I think.
If the coach can leave after the season and go coach the next year.
Right.
I think the player should be able to leave and go play the next year.
Good point.
Yeah. So like, as long as the coach can leave and go play, I think the players should be able to leave whenever they want and go play too. Cause like the coach could lose the last game of the season and the next day say, I'm going over here.
Yep.
But if that kid in the past, if that kid was like, okay, well now I'm going to go over here. If it was D1 to D1, you had to wait a year. If it was
D1 to D2, you were good.
If D1 to D2, you're good. But if you went from a D1 to a D1, it was a year. And if it was in conference, it was 2 years. Mm. You had to wait. So
I like that kind of. In conference, that's tough. There's a lot of kids. I mean, COVID's different, but transfer in conference, you got all the...
Mm-hmm.
COVID's messed up a lot. Messed up a lot. A lot.
What do you think, Caitlin? I love Caitlin Clark right now, man. What do you think she should do, the big three or the... And is the Barstool offer real? I don't know.
I saw the big three offer. I don't know about...
He said he would double the big three offer. Portnoy, $10 million to play in the...
Listen, Caitlin Clark would get dominant. She wouldn't be able to even get a shot off in the big three.
Canceled.
She wouldn't be able to just got guard anybody.
No,
I'm just speaking facts, bro.
I agree. Like,
he's not.
I don't know. That's not like a publicity stunt. I think Ice Cube's pulling, but I don't know.
Or they're gonna to get someone. They're gonna have to sign someone like me to come play, so I can guard her, so she can get a shot off.
Plus, they're not gonna.
It's gonna let her shoot out there.
If she was to join that league, they're gonna have like a chip. They're like, nobody's gonna want her to do.
True.
And they're gonna make it their point to, okay, you're in this league. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
here.
True.
Somebody said it on
ESPN. Someone else gets a check.
Who said it on ESPN the other day? Imagine her guarding Reggie Evans in the post.
Oh my goodness. Like, it's ISO.
That's like, bro, she's going to get hurt.
Like Tino Mobley.
Hey, bro.
She could change the WNBA.
She can change it.
She could.
She can change it.
I think all them girls can. I like Juju. What was her name? Juju Watkins.
Watkins is good.
Paige Beckers.
Yep.
They're good, but I just think let the women be women, let the men be men, and let them play their games.
Right. I don't. Like, I think the whole big three thing.
All the
is
mixing
kinda,
and matching and all that. No, that's not how it. It was never like that. So it shouldn't be like
I
that.
I think those group of girls though could change the NBA. Like
the
WNBA. Yeah. But like, just change the landscape of it a little bit.
For
like,
sure.
Maybe I mean, hopefully they can get some. You know, they all want to get paid more, but to get paid more, you need.
You need
fans
drive
to show
more.
Up.
You need drive more business.
Yeah, you got. 100%. You need more money coming in.
The
so.
Whole world, like both sides. I keep hearing. I mean, there's some haters, just straight haters, but very little. If the team's bringing in way more money, then they get way more money. Same with the women's national soccer team. If the viewership brings in way more money, then you make way more money. We're all fine with that. Mm-hmm. It's tough because you go to WNBA game, there's nobody
in the stands.
Some people, I think, showed up on accident. Mm-hmm. They don't even know where they were. And you can't pay. I mean, it's tough. And they get a ton of publicity from it because you're on ESPN and you're living in townhouses because you don't have the funds to do that. So I'm excited for it. They deserve it. Some of them, a lot of them are studs. They all can hoop. And I hope she does the WNBA, although...
It's one of those things where it quite simply is everybody would love a better product in the WNBA.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like that's everybody agrees on
right?
Even the people that don't currently, watch women's basketball, like, would probably say if it was entertaining, I might.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just not a great product right now. And it's people like Caitlin, who are that talented, we need them to go to the NBA mm-hmm. if you like, want to elevate it, you know?
Bro, those are the first two women's basketball games I've watched last night in a long time. Yeah. And I was tuned in. Mm-hmm. And it was good basketball, it was good. I thought.
And I think it's hard when the dynamic, like, so for, like, the basketball, like, the women and men's dynamic of it, like, when one is so much better than the other, it's hard to go watch the other unless you have a kid or somebody that's involved in it or that's...
Right.
So, yeah. like... Right. I mean, football would obviously be different for different reasons. Yeah. Like, there's women, but like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, baseball, softball, same thing.
Yep.
Different. Yeah. One's up here, one's down. It's hard to go to the other one when you could go to this one and watch it. Like, why would you?
True. But like, if I'm a female and I'm like a basketball supporter, I would support the women, even if it's a bad product. Though I feel like women don't really do that, but they want them to get paid more. But like, the women aren't really supporting it. Like,
isn't that the story of the WNBA though? Everybody threw their hands up in the air and cried, right, and had a fit, and then those same people don't go to the
games.
Don't
show up.
Don't go. That's my don't watch.
Like, so that's true. A lot of people get on them about that too, about like not. Playing their part. So,
yeah, I mean,
who is crazy. That?
It's. I think it's more so too because the older generation, like them, those women, they didn't have like the publicity that these ones are now getting. But do you got to remember, there's a lot of good women's basketball players back in the day that could have like Cheryl Miller. Lisa Leslie, Cynthia like Cooper. You got
inaugural years of it though. Yeah, like, that was the first.
So
beginning.
Now it's like, it's just like, this is the same thing we talked about. What can you do for me now? Right. What have you done for, like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, well,
ain't did much lately.
Well,
well, all that said, let's hope she does, you know, change the WNBA.
I think they got the potential to, for sure.
Oh, I like it.
But that I seen something too they were talking about. They said that they hope that the fans of women's college basketball follow these girls to the WNBA. They said because a lot of times the college women's basketball fans stay in college. And they, like, once your stardom is up in college and you go to WNBA, it's like you just become lost. Like, you're lost in the sauce. Like, you're gone.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Because Iowa, I mean, if you're an Iowa fan, South Carolina fan, you're not going to buy a Lynx jersey if your girl goes to the Minnesota Lynx. You're sticking with the next South Carolina fan.
Yeah.
The next but I think there's that Iowa crowd last night is definitely going to be rocking with wherever she goes. Big three. Will too. I'm not even an Iowa fan.
Iowa's like that. The state's that's like true. That.
And that conference. It's tough in men's sports. That conference, I get happy when ACC kids do well. I don't like them when they're in the ACC, but when they do well in the NBA, I'm like, hey, that's ACC. Or Florida boy. That's a Florida.
Yeah.
So I like that growth. There's going to be a time where college is going to be the best money-making opportunity for kids. And for we're there. Well, I mean, you can make way more in college now than you will in professional.
These girls, I mean, Angel Reese and them, they're going to make way more money in college than they ever will.
She probably might think about standing another year.
I think Shadir is going to make most of college players ever made.
You said Shadir?
Yeah, Sanders.
Yeah.
Then he will in the NFL. I don't know if he'll make it to the NFL.
That's the thing. Yeah, he might. Yeah, he might not.
I like it. That's kind of what else you on GOATs. What are some GOAT moments or things you can, we got to wrap up, but things you can point to that you watched on TV, you watched in person, some of the greatest performances. It could be your own, could be your teammate or something that you saw that you can point to. NFL, it could be any other sport, but what's the greatest moment of all time you've seen in sports or got one? Chris, you have one? What's your greatest moment of all time?
In sports? My greatest sports moment of all time? I mean, for me, it's a little bit biased because, you know, I'm a fan, and so I think to my teams, and I'm originally from DC, so I'm a diehard, you know, Nationals, Skins, well, Commanders fan, Capitals fan. And, you know, we never had a championship in DC from the time I could remember sports, you know, up until 2018 when the Caps won the Stanley Cup. And as a diehard hockey fan, I had seen year after year after year after year of us going to the playoffs, being President's Trophy winners and losing to most most of the time the Penguins. So I remember the day, it wasn't even the Stanley Cup final, it was the conference championship series, where Kuznetsov scores a breakaway goal in game seven to beat Pittsburgh, which was like defeating the devil. Well, it was the, you know what I mean? It felt like this, we had finally conquered the dragon, right? And like, we weren't going to be stopped after that. Sure enough, go on, beat Vegas, you know, in the Stanley Cup. And just that feeling, that moment, like that was the greatest, you know? And it was an amazing run because it was a team that wasn't, they were good, but they weren't, you know, like, you know, nobody was really picking them to win the cup that year. And then not even a year later, you know, we get the Nationals, you know, as a wild card team winning the World Series. So like, I don't know, that little stretch of DC sports for me is like pretty freaking amazing and unlikely. And it's one of the greatest. And again, it's not really there's not really a GOAT in there. I mean, obviously you have Ovi and stuff like that and Zimmerman and the Nats, you know, getting their championships.
Ovi is a GOAT.
Ovi is a GOAT.
Stud. Mine would be probably, mine would both be, I'd say Kobe's last game and then his 81. And then.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
All I remember from that is Snoop Dogg standing up like.
I had tears in my eyes on the last game. When he was really, when he was doing that and he was going on, I was just like, man.
I was actually in
Bolivia. Then the mic drop. That was like led to. I had like chills running down my body. Crazy.
You think they're letting him score?
I think at some no.
He shot the ball 50 times.
Look,
they were like he shot 50 times.
They weren't letting him score.
Always.
They were just in awe of what they were lost in the moment. Yeah. Like he's doing this. You guys know you could probably be playing harder, but it's just like he's really doing this. Like he's doing this right now.
He got froze up a little bit. Yeah.
Like Gordon Hayward, right?
Hayward.
What do you expect him to do, bro? It's Kobe's last game. Like, you think he's gonna jump up and try to like
contest his shot? Yeah, nah. That's fact.
But those two moments for sure.
Yeah, I got one, man. Devin Hester, man.
Mm. Yeah,
Super Bowl.
Yeah,
kickoff.
I love it.
Opening kickoff. That's my golden moment.
I love
that. Yes, sir. I thought we was going to win the game.
He had to search deep. For a Bears.
That's
moment.
A Hurricanes. I love that. That's a Hurricanes.
I mean, Devin Hester's goat.
Yeah.
Goat.
Yeah.
That's my golden moment, man. Yeah. That's what popped out to me.
I like that.
We'll never see a kick returner as good as him ever.
No.
Did y'all see what they did to the NFL?
I heard about it. They changed the rules.
Like, bro, they line everybody up at like the 30. And or it's like the
50. It's closer,
like everyone's past the 50 and no one can move till the ball's caught. Yeah. Everyone's standing still. Yeah, so there'll be like no more kick returns probably.
It's the XFL rule, right?
XFL or UFL, whatever
I've
they're
seen
calling
it. Chad Johnson said that they should widen the field.
Oh my gosh, of course he would want that.
What?
Be wide open.
Widen the field.
They should because there's no space.
Because he said over all the years, he said the players have gotten stronger, faster, and bigger, but the field is the same size.
So true.
So you got these bigger, stronger, fat running around in this little space, like wide in the field.
True. There's no room to these quarterback
windows. You
don't
got to make it longer,
tight.
But just widen it.
Are I like the Devin Hester.
Fields wider? Are rugby fields wider?
I think so.
I think they are.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
I like the Devin Hester. So one my goated moment. I like Ray Allen in the corner, man.
That's a big one. Yeah.
But I'm a Hurricanes, Miami, everything. And I went to the Louisville game when he had four kick returns.
Oh, yeah.
For touchdowns. I was in the Orange Bowl. I think it was the last game. It was the second to last game because we lost to UVA on the last game of the Orange Bowl before they knocked it down. But that dude, bro,
he was
just
electric.
Telling somebody, I'm going to do this. Bro. I'm going to score more points than you guys scored in the conference this year. Tonight, and he like 28, dropped 28 on him, like five games in just in kick returns. Stud. I love it. Where can we follow? Where can, I love what you guys are doing. Where can people find you on social and help maybe what you're doing with travel teams? You got a national travel team, really.
Yeah, so I didn't really get to mention that at all. So yeah, I got a sixth grade national travel basketball team. We actually just got back from Orlando. We won the Easter classic event up there this past weekend, and Yeah, we travel. We're going out to Vegas this summer. We're going to Houston. We go up to Atlanta. So you can follow my team page at it's southfldogs.2030 on Instagram. And, you know, if you're willing to support, you know, there's opportunities to donate and support as we do travel. And it's definitely not, it's an expensive thing, but I got a lot of support from the parents and also the community as well. So it's been going great, man. We got a lot of talent just trying to give back and just build them up, have them boys ready. The goal is to have them ready their freshman year for varsity. So
love it.
That's awesome.
It. Got a stud team. So yep. Take some South Florida guys and invest in them.
Yes, sir.
We can do anything. We've all proven that. Mm-hmm. And it's not cheap. And you can't really get those high-level offers or life-changing offers unless you do these things.
Unless you're mm-hmm. on the platform or yeah. on a platform to be seen by the right people. So yeah, it's man. Like, and like, I got some kids, man. It's really like, this is all they got. Like,
yeah,
you know, they don't really got fathers. No. They don't really got, you know, so it's, true. That's all they got. And that's yeah. their really their way out of a lot of their situations. So
love it. Yeah, yeah, you can sponsor. We're going to look at sponsoring some of these teams. By following those and reaching out,
definitely.
we'll connect you to these guys too. Joey's got a team, but I'll say too, just to touch on that again, the opportunity, the world has changed where if you don't have exposure and you don't go to these things and play against these kids, you don't have a chance to get out of areas like we have in this town. We're in one of the wealthiest towns in Naples, but the outskirts are some of the poorest towns, most broken towns. Sure. So I appreciate you guys pouring into those. The exposure at these events, Chris, I don't know if you've been, but thousands of teams come to these mm-hmm. events. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of teams. The Vegas one, the whole city shut
Vegas
down.
Vegas is going to be crazy.
And the grown men that are there from every conference, every college, representing multiple colleges, filming, putting you on Twitter, putting mm-hmm. your team on Twitter. And a lot of them are coached by their dad or their uncle or whatever. So I'm glad that you're coaching these teams.
Yeah, that's the
teams.
Thing about my team, man. I don't have kids on the team.
Exactly. I don't have no ties with my team either. Exactly. So it's like... No
and
favorites,
that'll help
no
because they're watching them get coached right.
Right, exactly. There's
the
no favoritism.
Playing,
there's no...
Which is huge. Yeah, so... Because that's a big step, too, is there's a lot of daddy ball still. But mm-hmm. how can they support or find you, Joey?
Same. You can reach me on the Naples Dogs.
The program page is South FL Dogs.
DAWGS.
Yes. You can reach me on there. And then Instagram, J_Woods_239.
Love it. And you guys can reach out to us too.
Yeah,
we'll plug you.
Go to golf. You can find me here. I'm here all day.
Yeah, he's in the building
here all
quite
day.
Often. Yeah.
Love it. Well, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for being on the podcast. Sure. Couple
Thanks
goats.
Thanks for having me. Yes, sir.
We'll get on it again and talk
Definitely.
About.
I'll do a part two, man.
Yeah, Definitely. How the seasons mm-hmm. went.
Yeah.
And what's next?
Sure. That'd be awesome. Yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
They goated everybody.
Yep. Sure.